Prios would be my favorite thing. That guy's going to have to learn to cover lots of ground.
Right.
Because he's going to be the meat and
like I'm doing.
He's going to have to learn to play lower notes quite often in his chords. He can't stay in the top strings too much.
Right.
Can't go into single lines unless he's got a remarkable melodic facility that's just so enchanting that none of us care if there's anything else in
it. Right.
Stuff like that.
That's where I used to come in.
And then we fine-tune it in the sense of, let's say a guy says duo, he loves duos because he and a buddy get together. Mm-hmm. So he's got to learn to play good, strong rhythm. So it's like giving him, taking a few songs, see if he can play, and maybe handwriting or printing up some stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. It's kind of standard approach, I guess.
Well,
stuff that you probably already knew, you know, that you would do.
I had some children, grammar school age children, at this class I taught when I was in college studying music, working at a music store behind the counter, you know. They needed a teacher for some kids, you know, and everybody was booked up, and there seemed to be a bunch of kids coming through in the summer. So I jumped at the chance, you know, and it was a very frustrating experience for me because I was, you know, pushing forward, but had to slow myself way, 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 way down, deal with a lot of, I didn't practice, I hate practicing, you know, a lot of real challenges to my ability to motivate. and I don't know that, I don't know if children would really be what I would want to deal with. I think maybe more, you know, young guys maybe in high school hearing some jazz on the radio or adults.
So
I don't know if you could be that selective, you know, in a music store situation.
You might just at least tell them that you don't feel you're qualified, because you don't know how to motivate a person who says, I hate practicing. I'm only here because mom's forcing it.
Yeah. I'm not looking to make the teaching thing my bread and butter. I would like to get into it, and I'd like to have a few students who are serious and, you know, plug in with them and give them whatever I can along the lines of what I mentioned earlier about going part-time with this company. If that works, that'll be fine. I'm going to go 4 hours a day, 10 to 2, so I'm going to sleep in over half of the plan. We've been rehearsing a lot, you know, till 1 or 2 in the morning, and I have to get up at 5 or 6 in the morning, get into this place at 7.
That's devastating when that alarm goes off.
That's
you're not happy, right?
I'm moving on lack of sleep a lot, you know, and that doesn't feel good. So, you know, 10 to 2 there, that would leave me afternoons or evenings to, you know, teach one day a week or something like that, just to see how it feels. I'm not setting that up as anything other than an experiment. But, we'll just see.
That sounds like I hope it works out for you.
Yeah, but, you know, I've been, like I mentioned to you earlier, selling the house affords me a little bit of creative if I choose to take it.
Oh, I see, because
with the cash in the bank, you know, I don't have to do this job. I would like to do enough things that I cover my bases. I'm, you know, financially okay, and I'm not scratching all the time, so that I have the peace of mind to address the stuff that I'm into. But I really am serious about putting some time in with you. I'd like to go to maybe every 2 weeks, pretty soon if possible, or maybe like a 2-hour lesson or something. Something where we could really get some things done.
That might work, the 2-hour lesson. I'd hate to see it drive twice a month, but 2 hours once seems more sensible.
I wanted to just, you know, run it by you to see what your thoughts were, but I'm ready to do an intensive woodshed here.
Let's do it next month.
Okay.
You want to try it?
I'd love to, yeah.
We'll go from 7 to 9.
That would be great.
Yeah. And I'll fit the 7-fellow in somewhere up with both these fellows. So many people want the late times, well, it's my problem, not yours. So I've got to say now, if today is the 22nd, then 4 weeks from today is June 19th.
Great, that's fine. There was no traffic at all. I drove
really?
Straight on through. I left at, I ran a little late. I forgot about a couple things I had to do, so I left right at 6. I was going to leave at 5:45. And I got here at 6:45, so it's a 45-minute drive from my house, door to door.
That surprises me.
I would have thought it's more like an hour and 15 minutes or something. Well, let's run through something that you had questions about in the repertoire. You said you wanted to run some of those by, right?
Yeah.
Let's jump right in.
Sunny Gets Blue and B.
B?
Yeah.
B, as in boy.
As in boy.
Oh, man. What made you choose that key? I love it.
Vocalist. I mean, I have no choice.
You could have said B flat or C. And she,
oh, we did all that. You know.
And she preferred B.
B was the point where the low note wasn't painful, the high note wasn't painful, and we,
isn't that
we
wonderful?
Slip it in
B,
there. So
I love the sound of the key. So what are your questions about it? You just want me to give you some other... What was that chord I heard you?
That chord...
That's right. Okay, the gate wasn't opening last time. I may have to come down and get you. Let's see if it opens. I guess it's variable. That's good.
This chord right here, that's a...
What bugs you about it?
For some reason, it throws me. I don't know why.
Hoping I would come up with I'm game to make suggestions, but if you had questions, if that's what you were really hoping, you didn't want me to make suggestions.
Yeah, suggestions, definitely. That's a tune that we do, and I recorded it, and I just didn't like my part, and especially...
You don't hate it, though. It's not bad.
It's not.
It's
awful,
musical.
But... one of the things that I really feel, especially solo... We
tune
want
to you while we're talking. I'll listen to you and I'll tune at the same time. Go ahead.
We want to probably get a bass player and drum up first, just because I do, you know, definitely, and she says, yeah, I probably should. But the time thing, I'm feeling like maybe more, I should be putting a little bit more emphasis on just time, maybe even do some...
Let's talk about that. Is this tape going to roll right?
Because I've noticed I hear myself going for lines behind her and it sounds too thin. When I'm doing things that are just almost like straight four comping, it sounds better.
It's a cool thing to do. You don't want to overdo it, and it's nice to save it, not come out of the gate with it sometimes. Also, this song is very amenable to up-tempo long meter, which is the same chronological time as ballad time. Do you know about this concept? Or?
We've talked about meter.
Long meter, double
time.
You've thrown the time
out, but we've not discussed it.
Okay, so for the tape, if this is... Say it's in that vicinity. Eventually. It's still chronologically the same amount of time.
Oh yeah, right.
Her phrasing can be the same, so she'll feel you swinging. Will she be upset if you break into that swing thing?
Not at all. She loves that feel. I've got the tape. I almost brought it in, but it's not quite ready. So next time you hear it.
Now, you don't have to walk the bass. It's just fun to do. But even without the bass, you can still go. It's a lot about...
You really hear the tune that way, though? So when something gets blue?
I hear any tune that's a ballad that's not super tender-hearted. This one I don't hear is tender. I hear it is bluesy because of that...
And the ending line of...
So I do hear, I do hear this as a jazz tune. And whenever I think jazz, but say you said Alfie, like I don't hear Alfie this way, People Over the Rainbow. There's some tunes that I just don't feel like, you know, I just don't swing them.
The way we do this tune arrangement, we take the first verse rubato, and then we go into time, and we don't do it the way it's written. She doesn't like that. She, on the very end, we go back and go.
Even the first part?
No, the last time.
Last time.
You do a solo thing in the middle, just
the way it's written, you just repeat this at the end. It's,
It goes up.
I'm no longer the bass, but I am playing a constant bass. Maybe some little half steps if you want. Because you don't have to work out a full blown line if you're too busy right now. I would use this E sharp more than this one sometimes. Not every time.
You're calling that an E sharp? That's interesting because I've been thinking that as an F.
Well, it's sharp four, see?
You think of it, that was one of those things we talked about. Is it flat five or sharp four?
The half diminished chord on the half step above the fourth degree is a sharp four in the sense that its original appearance and tonality was a seven of five or as two of three. Let's make it easy in a key like C. If you're in C, you run into an F sharp half diminished. The original meaning of that chord was either as the 2 on an E minor, to begin a 2-5 towards an E minor.
Once again?
Okay. It's a B chord. A B chord. E minor. E minor, like 4th. Love is a many splendored thing, it's an old song.
Mm-hmm.
That starts right in C, if you were in C. Sorry. Before it goes 2-5-4. So it does 1-2-5-3, 2-5-4 before it hits the 4.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very symmetrical.
So back to the sharp 4 or flat 5.
Right, so the deal is, if we call this G flat, minor 7 flat 5, it doesn't make sense as the 2 of E minor.
It wants to go flat 2.
Here's what I'm saying. Just to call it G flat doesn't make sense as to why it originally appeared. It originally appeared as F sharp, which it still sometimes goes toward, you know, towards B7, right?
Okay.
There's another reason, though, too. It's this reason. Line when you hear things like, you know, you hear the bass coming, you know, in classical music and stuff, and they have these great strong bass lines. fifth is coming up from F, the traditional approaches to call F sharp instead of G flat. Another reason is, I said it earlier, it's 7 of 5. It's kind of strange to say 7 of 5, but this is a chord that leads you towards the G. Like you modulate it into G in symphonic music. You're in C, right? Finger down sometimes to catch that extra note. Oh, no. I don't have what you got. Let's call what you're doing. There are a lot of ways to hold the chord. Truly, let me just dictate them into the tape. Each one has advantages in terms of what you can add to the chord melodically.
Mm-hmm.
Here's just a variety of fingerings. Standard fingering. Yeah, we'll just do it symmetrically. Listen sometime to the 40th, 39th, 40th, and 41st symphonies of Mozart. You'd be blown away, as they say out in the street.
In what context? Is that always symphonic? Well, those are symphony orchestra?
Those are full, yeah. I wouldn't get the period instrument versions. I'd get the full-blown stuff.
Uh-huh.
Get a big, nice, fat orchestra. The best review recently is Sir Colin Davis, a British fellow. He's supposed to have a marvelous version. But as long as you get a big orchestra, you probably won't be too disappointed. That some guys play much faster tempos than others, but just for your initial hearing, at least you'll hear a big, strong, throbbing bass note under there, so you can hear what generated a lot of these harmonies for you. Maybe you'll bring in passages and we'll talk about, what's this? How do they...
Right.
I may not know either, but it's fun to learn.
Yeah.
As I can hear it.
So
anyway,
sharp 4 is actually 7 of...
5. We're coming back to that. Here's some more fingerings. 2, 3, 4, 1 is standard. With or without a bar. If you bar sometimes, it changes what you're able to do after you hit the chord. For instance, you can then add the A sharp here in this chord, which makes it a dominant. That's the one you want that effect. 2, 2, 3, 1 is not without its advantage to go. All those kind of passages where you're adding those tones. Actually, it's not remaining fingers. The third finger has to come out and bend your pinkies at least for you. 2, 2, 3, 4, 3, 1, yeah. 3, 3, 4, 2 is excellent when you want your inner voice to go down without striking anything else again. If you want the sound of... Coronation City, right? That was it. We got it again. Symmetrically, and everything is the repeating from C to D. We're just going used to call a 7-6 progression. They call this the 6 of this bass note.
Yeah, I got that harmony book by Piston out of my boxes, and I've been reading it at night, getting refreshed and all that stuff. Just
interesting stuff.
Starting to, yeah, very beautiful.
So, back to this chord, sharp 4 is okay. So it functions as 7 to 5. So here it results right into 5. Key of C, the 5 is?
G.
Good. Bass note. Because we've got to resolve our bass. There's the 4 of C. See, once you enter the chord at 5, you can go into its own key. Because you've entered it by its own dominant chord. Understand that 7 functions like 5. So when you play a 7-1 instead of a 5, essentially prepared this chord so that if you choose to, big deal, man. I mean, this is a big deal. If you choose, that's the key word. If you choose to, you can go into its own key. If you choose not to, you can say it's just G, maybe go G7 right back to C. But if you choose to, you go 1, 4, 1, 5. You're in that key. Because of the bass. Sounds like we're in this key, I hope.
It does.
But
yeah.
This was the one that opened the door.
Yes.
7-5.
Right.
So back to, we were in B. We're talking about E sharp half diminished. I know it's a bundle of craziness, but can't we just call it F10? Yeah, you can. I'm just trying to get used to thinking E sharp because it goes to A sharp, D sharp, G sharp, C sharp, F sharp, B. That's the cycle.
The next chord is in
E. I know. But just in other tunes, like say Moon River, if you played that one in B. You got that place where it goes. No, this is the wrong place. It's where it goes. It's a cycle. E sharp, A sharp, D sharp, G sharp, C sharp, F sharp.
It's like a 4/4.
Thank you. So in this tune, yeah, it goes from E sharp to E.
So what is the movement? Is that just chromaticism?
Yeah, chromatic is the name of the game for this tune. It does minor 7-5-5, minor 7, minor 7, another chromatic minor. This one's
minor 7-5-5, minor 7.
Well, no, those are auxiliary. They're non-structural. Here's the real structural backbone of it. We include them, but it's... See, that's the structure. It's fun on any minor if you have time to cross the cycle. Your fourth move, but there's no imperative there. It's written that way, a fake book. The guy who wrote it apparently heard it that way, but if he had been in a simpler mood that day, he might have just gone towards the 2 and the 5.
Now, would you ever play it that way in an accompaniment situation, though?
I might for variety, but with juicy chords and contrary motion, so it was not boring. Meaning,
that straight line.
I would get bored with that, yeah. Frankly. I don't hate it, but it just wouldn't excite me enough. Mm-hmm. And I like to get my ears jazzed.
Right.
So that's it. Sure, I'll put this up to you. This is a typical contrary line. It's an E sharp half diminished voice close harmony.
Sharp, is that
well, I love that, but see, we don't want our melody to leave as far as
off track.
So we're just moving little half steps or whole steps in the melody. You hear all five voices? You have the inside G. That's what I'm hearing. I'm not hearing the D note on the string.
Thank you.
notes, not chimes? Just for
the definitely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so our melody just went. Now, if we do this, we have an exposed 9 on 3, exposed meaning the highest board. That can be troublesome for a person that you're accompanying because it's not a diatonic 9. Some 9s are in the key and some are not. So we use that note to make it real easy. So, D sharp minor 7. I just had the fifth instead of the flat third on the other string. That's right. I bar that 2-4-2 and 3 right here with the minor third. That's it.
That's it.
Maybe get your 2 chord. So our melody's gone.
This one, the flat two.
Serving as 5 is a flat two.
Yeah, right. Because it keeps the pneumatic thing going down. The bass line going down all the way. It's like D sharp, E sharp, D sharp, C.
That's pretty. I like that. Yeah.
If the melody's going to go back, pardon me, if the harmony's going back to D sharp 7, because it's in the middle of the tune, not the last time, then we might have to switch the flat again. Saturday afternoon once on this tune. I still didn't know it. I kept trying and trying. I couldn't keep it in mind.
What's that chord we're using now? I'll play this here. I'm going to the bass string.
Yourself. This is a little trick, you may know it already, we did discuss it. The jack knee, the bass come out. Remember, if you're going to do that, if you use the tip of your finger, it slows you down because you have to pause to be accurate. Watch how quickly I'm going to get. Usually I don't do things that quickly, I'm not that speedy a guy, but you're doing it real fast by using the sign. That's right.
Now, let's analyze this chord real quick.
Yeah.
Seventh in the bass.
Here's the voice
third,
that it generates. Yeah.
Sixth.
Flat.
Oh yeah, flat 9. Oh, doubled the third.
Here's the chord that generates it. Just lower the third string 1 fret. another way to approach that thing is to start from a different line. Sharp, 11 instead of the 5-3. You can also put both notes in the chord. Use the second finger, third, second again, four. Now we've got our straight chord, right? 1-7-5. Now we have the 11 on the first finger. The other one is nice. It has the 9 instead of the 5. It's a certain shimmer because of the poly triad. Fingering is 1, 2, 2, 2, 4 in front of 2. That's right. This chord functions as this E sharp, 7-5-5.
Now is the 5-5 in the tenor?
5-5 is in the tenor, very good. The minor third's been removed. It's a unique situation, unlike a few strange things in other areas of life where the seemingly essential note is not even there.
Right. Right.
Music like the minor third to this one doesn't matter. The rest of the stuff's a bit
quality. It's dark.
If it has this mute tone underneath, it won't be minor anymore. Now it's dominant. Uh-huh. If it has this mute tone, it's a
said about this form, that diminished form is the upper, I'm not saying it says a B7 flat 9 chord.
4-7-5-9 is 4 diminished 7.
Right.
What you note in there is the root.
And it moves up in that minor third form there.
That's right.
The notes just change position.
There's a hookup that has to do with any chord that's a dominant ninth without a root. Is also some kind of minor 7-5-5 type.
Right.
And that's also some kind of alto dominant, and some kind of minor 6, and some kind of 11 flat 9, if the bass player adds a certain note. So there's this affinity of 5 types of chords.
Right.
And if you extend any one of them, let's say you take the C9 and the 13, it's still going to be a note that's germane to those other 4 things.
Uh-huh.
Like this is still part of the F sharp alto. So we were talking about the first, you can start out with this interval, it's that bass note, and that lets you go in. Choice here before, and I said more info, less mastery. At present, yeah, right.
I do that too. I go back.
So E minor, 7-11, D sharp minor, maybe a minor 7, sub the D. This is probably a good portion for you. Second finger. You got it here. Every string arpeggiated.
Double stop.
That's the idea. Then we move everything down and the melody up a half step. Everything moves cover that 11. There you go. There's the sound.
Oh, that's pretty.
Isn't that a nice chord?
That's beautiful.
Chubb, I didn't hear the F in there. You want to make sure you really get that minor third degree in. So we hear the contract. Huh?
Look at your thumb real quick before you move. You've got your thumb laying way back. That's going to be how I had to do it to grab it.
Yeah, I never worry about where my thumb is trying to.
Really?
I'll take time away from playing guitar.
Yeah. You've done a whole lot of that classical.
It'll automatically go into your first finger. It's supposed to. When you do this chord, it's roughly under the first finger.
Right.
But when you do this chord, why put it under the first finger? It's much harder. I mean, if I do that, I've got just harder to hold my wrists.
You can't get this kind of action bluesy stuff with it, you know, real classical.
Oh,
no. Let me see.
No, I don't. You know what happened?
The grease.
Somebody noticed certain things like
that sort of thing. Yeah.
And they made a rule, not realizing there was a lot of rest of the guitar where you don't need that same. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
You do. Anyway.
Yeah. Right.
So when we're on
that last chord, was
last chord's a five, but we moved a whole step to just move past that. Another option there, it's a nice option, is to go with a C chord. This is where instead of F sharp, we would hit a C for flat five substitution.
One more time.
Instead of going to F sharp from C sharp, we can go from C sharp to C because of that tritone or flat five substitution. Let's hear the melody there at that point. That's it. Okay, so. Yeah, I don't know about putting this note. Well, her voice isn't going to be here. It's going to be this register, right?
Her
voice. Be above her.
Another thing I want to talk
about.
She has a very low husky.
Oh, okay. So you can do any high notes you want about.
And that was something that I've been realizing, that there's a little too much mud going on, because I'm doing a lot of these nice inner voices, and she's right in there too. And I'm finding some of the times these kinds of things.
Let me think about this. I can be in a husky chick's range here. Let me think. She's singing in that octave as opposed to the lower one.
Down south.
She is in here.
Yeah. She likes those kinds of melodies that, you know, they're that kind of key. Now. That part of the tune is a little rough for her. She's the low part having trouble sometimes.
I might do string quartet verses with her band. Here we have first finger. Highly recommend you listen. Keep listening to string quartets, man. You get lots of ideas.
I haven't been listening to any string quartets. I'd love to.
Tell you a guy to start with. He's very accessible. Do you buy CDs yet, or do you not?
Okay.
There's a set out. String quartets of Mendelssohn. Overlooked, underrated composer sometimes. His Opus Zero, he was just a kid, and he was 14, but it's brilliant. You can really hear the Melos Quartet, M-E-L-O-S. I think it's a reasonable price for four CDs. You pay, I don't know, $30-$40. A big chunk of money, but if you don't want to go that route, if you want to get the complete string quartets, you might just pick up one early string quartet of either Mozart, Haydn, Mendelssohn, or Beethoven.
And how will I know it's early?
Look in a Schwann catalog by the opus number, the order of quartets. Let's say it says opus 2 number 1, or opus 2 number 2, you'll know that's one of them early guys.
Uh-huh.
If it says opus 82 number 2, be careful. Look before it. If there are no opus numbers in the string quartets before it, then that's still an early one for this guy. It just means he didn't start writing his quartets until he was later. But that won't be the case with any of these guys. They all wrote quartets when they were fairly
6 and 7 years old.
Mozart wrote some music at 6. Amazing. Yeah.
So anyway, these are...
So this is... What these are minor 7-11s in the string quartet type voicing. Here's the voicing. That's the fifth with the first finger. This is C-sharp minor. This is our 2 chord. I know it doesn't look like a C sharp anything, but it'll turn into it. Here's our voicing. Root, a fifth, pardon me, flat third with the third finger. C sharp, so the flat third's E. Follow where I am, how I'm thinking. Great, then we bar and get the flat 7, which is B.
B. B.
It's right there, you got it.
Oh, okay. Now the C sharp.
Right. Now the 11th is F sharp. Right, that's the four voice setup. That deeper sound of the string quartet. Then we move it down chromatically. So
are we doubling the F sharp? Is it a 5-note chord or a 4-note?
No, 4-note. String quartet.
Okay, so we're doing 4-note.
That's it. That's right here. Okay, now in this song, you can do this substitution if you. Right. It's like doing this. I'm just checking with you. What's your normal thought on that?
He starts on
the right. So let these guys really sing out. Here's a common thing in symphonic music. Do this one, third finger. First one. Finger. This is the flat 5 in the bass. What we're doing now is we're going to go G sharp, no, tit, sit up. D sharp, half diminished, before G sharp 7. So third finger is the flat 5, first finger is the flat 3rd, middle finger is the flat 7, second finger is the root. The only reason I use such an ungodly fingering at first is so that I can hold two of the voices.
Oh, it's a D7 flat 5 with
D
the flat
minor,
5.
D sharp. Minor 7 flat 5.
Minor 7 flat 5.
With the flat 5 in the bass. No, I'm sorry. Get that. Yeah, that's right.
You're fingering all the muscles. Yeah, bar and
bar. With those two voices on. That's right. Lower those other two.
Hold on.
Let's do it on D. Forget D sharp for a moment, because you'll understand it more initially on D minor, because you know D better than D sharp. Let's take D minor 7. This is certainly a friend, right?
Yeah.
Okay, second finger on D, middle finger on C. Now, what tone is that in the chord?
7. Great.
First finger on F, what tone is that in the chord?
Flat.
Great. Flat 5 in the bass. So now we lower these two notes and you'll see a G7 here. Don't change strings now, Kevin. Just really watch those voices. Thank you. Fun doing that. Oh yeah, we talked about that. But you're doing a blues version. That's not doo-wop. That's right. A whole other thing. That's cool. Do you have any occasion to do any of this? Let me get those piano basses against... Anyway, mini assignment here. Take the progression of the song in that part of the tune where it goes... Eliminate the dominants temporarily, just to see your voice leading. Mm-hmm. Remember, when it does do these dominants, those are added chords in terms of the real basic jazz structure of it. It's just more easily perceived as chromatic until it took us to two. Start your melody tone from all 7 degrees. We only did two tonight. When you do that, there's no formula as such other than follow good, sensible voice leading where it produces good results. If it doesn't, then don't use good, sensible voice. The melody should not move more than a whole step, and it should have some half steps, ideally. It automatically will. Mm-hmm. Some of them may not work out. Some of them may work terrific. We just tried these two, and they worked.
Yeah. If we did this one last time. Sharp 5.
Right. Again, I want to stress, this is a contrary motion melody. When I say some of them will work and some won't. If you use linear, straight line voice leading like that, there's always something available. Always. Never not. But when you use contrary motion, there's something available, but sometimes going that half or whole step doesn't give you a sound that you really like.
Uh-huh.
I've never seen linear voice leading not give us something that's pretty cool. Meaning, you know, when you just can move down all the voices, there's going to be something out there.
And when you say that something may not be available, do you mean from a fingering standpoint?
No, for instance, let's say this were one of the penultimate or late chords that had a minor 7th root on top. That doesn't do that much for me. It's okay, but I'm looking to be jazzed, you know? No pun intended, so... This is what happens when we start from the root on top. So there you run into, that's interesting, you run into that 13 on top. You might say, gee, I wish we would run into that, but you learn to D with 5-2 major. Yeah, it'll work. I was just checking to see if it would work with the 5-2 dominant. Consider that part that we're talking about as the assignment to be either a first or a second ending, or a third ending, for that matter. We were just doing the third ending. First time it's... We also spoke that. But the second time... Well, actually, second ending is the same as the first time. It just goes somewhere different after that. Because the second time, so you go to modulus to A5.
Yeah, three.
It's the third ending that's different, where it's
six, rather.
See what you can do. Because I'm getting
much more to talk about. This.
Okay, next lesson on tape is June 19th at 7 p.m. until 9 p.m. We got 2 hours. 4 weeks from tonight, everything's the same.
Thanks.